Amen. Now, everyone can be seated except Stan. Thank you. Please be seated. Pastor, I didn't know how hard or easy it was for you to sit down and get back up again. So
it's not
come
that.
Up as I welcome you to our fellowship. Gotten to know Stan Smith over the years, and not only learned of his life and service to our country in several venues, some of which are just hair-raising, Stan, for us sitting listening. But wonder of wonders, God even saves ex-CIA agents and the rest.
Amen.
Brings them to faith and brings them into his wonderful service. We're so thankful for that. We're thankful
Amen.
To have met you. We're thankful for each of you here today. Dame mucho gusto for you to be here. And God bless you as you share with us.
Thank you, Brother Dan. God bless you. I first want to thank Brother Dan and the whole congregation for the invitation for our mission to meet over here with y'all today. It's really an honor and a privilege for us to be here. This is our third year. I wasn't able to come last year. I was off on a fishing trip in Texas, and I'm going again this week. In fact, we're leaving tomorrow. So, quiero decir primeramente gracias por la invitación a venir aquí este día, hermano Dan Schwartz, el pastor de esta iglesia y toda la congregación. Muchas gracias por la invitación. I'll be speaking today first in English and then in Spanish. I want to share with you, I've heard a lot of people when we do this say, well, I don't really know when you stop speaking English and start speaking Spanish. And a lot of times they're so close together. But I'll be looking over this way when I speak English, and I'll look over this way when I speak Spanish. Although we have one Hispanic sitting right over there, he might want to join the other group. Hermano Santiago, ¿quiere invitar su hermano aquí para sentarse aquí con nosotros? ¿O no? Este hombre, invítale a sentarse aquí cerca de mi esposa, por favor. That way it'll be easier for me to speak to all the Hispanics and be on this side. And be careful we don't turn the church over. We've got more Hispanics here, I believe. And most of them had to work today. We've got two groups that aren't here. I estimated we'd have around 25 of the workers here, but evidently those for Joanne Holloway are working, and the ones for Kenny Rogers, his group, they usually come to, and they're working today. The title of my message today is What Do You Believe? El título de mi mensaje es ¿Qué cree usted? I want to share with you what I, as a Christian who has received Christ in my heart, what I believe, and then I'm asking to ask you what you believe. Yo voy a compartir con ustedes este día lo que yo creo como cristiano que tiene el Espíritu Santo en mi corazón. Y yo voy a preguntar a usted, ¿qué cree usted? Yo voy a compartir lo que yo creo. I'll be sharing from several verses in the Bible. You don't need to, won't have time probably to look them all up. I haven't marked in my Bible, but I have several. And I shared this message last Sunday at Sinking Fork, and there we have a overhead projector that puts them up on the wall. And he had those verses just quicker than I could turn to them in my Bible. So it may take me a little while to turn to them. I have them all marked, and I'm going to leave my glasses to read them. I'll read them in English first and then in Spanish. The first thing I believe is that the Bible is the living Word of God, that it was written by men, but it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that it is powerful and it has the power to salvation. Primeramente, quiero decir que la Biblia es la palabra de Dios, la viviendo vida de Dios, la palabra de Dios, viviendo. Y yo creo en mi corazón que puede tener el poder de cambiar su vida. I'm going to share with you what 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says. Yo voy a compartir con usted lo que dice Segundo Timoteo, capítulo 3, versículo 16 a 17. Verse 16 and 17, 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Versículo 16 dice, toda la escritura es inspirada por Dios y útil para enseñar, para redarguir, para corregir, para instruir en justicia, al fin de un hombre de Dios sea perfecto, enteramente preparado para toda buena obra. Second thing I believe this morning I want to share with you is I believe in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. La segunda cosa que quiero compartir con usted es la Trinidad. Dios el Padre, Dios el Hijo, y Dios el Espíritu Santo. When God was speaking in Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, I'm going to read that to you. He says that let us. And in that case, he's talking to Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. That's chapter 1, verse 26. Versículo 26, capítulo 1 dice, entonces dijo Dios, hagamos al hombre en nuestra imagen, conforme a nuestra semejanza. Y por eso hay mucha... I'm used to speaking Spanish first. In other words, a lot of people say the Trinity is not mentioned in the Bible. The word Trinity is not actually in the Bible. But the evidence of the Trinity is surely there. All through the Bible talks about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Hay mucha gente que dice que la palabra Trinidad no está escrita en la Biblia, pero la evidencia está en la Biblia. Dios el Padre, Dios el Hijo, y Dios el Espíritu Santo. So I believe in the Trinity. What do you believe? I believe in baptism. What do you believe? I'm going to share, yo creo en el bautismo. ¿Qué cree usted? I'm going to share with you from Matthew chapter 3, Matthew 28, verse 19. I got my notes here, so scrambled together. I got so many ribbons in here, I got to make sure I get the right one out, too. Matthew 28, verse 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus. This is command. That's where we actually get our great commission from, the Baptist faith. This is a command. Dice en español, versículo 19 de Mateo, capítulo 28, dice, por tanto, id y haced discípulos a todas las naciones, bautizándolos en el nombre del Padre, el Hijo, y el Espíritu Santo. Baptism is an ordinance of almost every Christian church, and it's something that we all do after someone has received Christ as their personal Savior. They're baptized by submersion into water. Jesus was baptized himself, and when he was baptized and came out of the water, the Spirit of God in the form of dove landed on his shoulder and heard the audible voice of God saying, behold, my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I hope God is well pleased with you today. Bautismo es una ordenanza de todas las iglesias cristianas. Es muy importante. Jesús fue bautizado, sumergido en la agua, no solamente echado agua en la frente, pero sumergido en la agua. Él fue bautizado por Juan el Bautista. So I believe in baptism. What do you believe? I also believe that we are the sons of God. When we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're adopted into the family of God. A lot of people think, well, we're all sons of God. We're all God's children, but that's not so. We're not all God's children until we receive Christ as our personal Savior. And then we're adopted into the family of God. Yo creo que somos hijos de Dios. Nosotros que hemos sido bautizados y recibido Cristo como Salvador y Señor, somos hijos de Dios. Mucha gente piensa que todos somos hijos de Dios, pero la verdad es que no somos hijos de Dios antes de o después de recibir a Cristo como Salvador y Señor. I'm going to read from the Bible where it talks about us being adopted into the Son of God, into the family of God by receiving Christ our Savior. I'm going to read Matthew I may have this marked wrong. Matthew 3:16-17. Let me just check this out real quick. Right. This is Matthew 3:16-17. Then he said, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. En español dice, Jesús, después que fue bautizado, subió del agua, y he aquí, los cielos le fueron abiertos, y vio el Espíritu de Dios, que descendía como paloma, y venía sobre él. Y hubo una voz de los cielos que decía, este es mi Hijo amado, en quien tengo complacencia. For this reason, it's so important for us, to be baptized. So important for us to receive Christ in order that we might be saved. And that's the only way that we can be saved is to receive Christ. Many people think you can earn your way to heaven, but that's not so. That's not what the Bible says. It says the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And we'll share about that just a little bit later. And as I said before, we're not sons of God until we receive Christ. I'm going to share with you from John chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Le voy a compartir con ustedes de San Juan, capítulo 1, versículo 10 y 11. John 1, 10, 12 says, he was in the world, talking about Jesus, and the world made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. This verse is very important. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. En español, de San Juan, Evangelio de San Juan, versículo, capítulo 1, versículo 10. En el mundo estaba, está hablando tocante Jesús, nuestro Señor. Y el mundo por él fue hecho, pero el mundo no le conoció. A los suyos vino, a los suyos no le recibieron. Mas a todos los que recibieron, a los que creen en su nombre, les dio potestad de ser hechos hijos de Dios, los cuales no son engendrados de sangre, ni de voluntad de carne, ni de voluntad de varón, sino de Dios. This tells me that we're not children of God until we receive Christ. Now, up to a certain age, all young children are God's children until they reach the age of accountability. Then it's time for them to make that decision in order to be considered a son or child of God, son or daughter of God. That's something that I believe, that's what the Bible teaches, and that's what I believe. What do you believe? Yo creo que todos los niños, hasta que lleguen a una edad cierta, son hijos de Dios. Pero cuando llegan a la edad que saben la diferencia en el bueno y el malo, entonces tienen que recibir a Cristo para ser hecho un hijo de Dios, adoptado en la familia de Dios. That's what I believe. What do you believe? I believe that God loves us. And I'm going to be reading from John 3:16. We all know John 3:16. But further on in the Bible, when you read that once you receive Christ, this love of God will never leave you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. God loves everybody. John 3:16, I'll prove that when I read it. Yo creo en mi corazón que Dios nos ama a todo el mundo, cada persona. Él no ama a mí más que a ustedes. Choking up pretty bad here. I've been having sinus problem. I apologize. I'll put a mint in my mouth, see if it'll help me. It might help. I'm going to read John 3:16. You're all very familiar with it. I'm going to read it in English and Spanish. Yo voy a leer de Juan 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, that's a love that can't be duplicated in any way. Jesus said himself, no greater love hath any man than lay down his life for another. And that's just what Jesus did. And God the Father gave. It was God's plan from the beginning because God loves us. He loves us in a way that we can't even understand. Most of us don't even realize what love is. And I submit to you that unless you have the love of God in your heart, you can't love anyone else. I was nearly 52 years old before I received that love of God. I couldn't even tell my children truly that I loved them. Not until I received Christ and had that love in my heart. I couldn't even tell my wife I truly loved her. I didn't know what love was. We don't know what love is until we receive the love of God. He gives us that love. Thank you, Beth. Excuse me while I take a drink. I think it'll... Estoy diciendo en inglés que el amor de Dios está más alto que cualquier otro amor que podemos tener. La verdad es que a menos que tenemos el amor de Dios dentro de nuestros corazones, no podemos amar a nadie. Yo recuerdo cuando antes de yo recibir a Cristo, yo no podía decir, te amo a mis hijos o mi esposa. De verdad, no tener este amor en mi corazón que solamente viene del amor de Dios. I said that love has to come from God. True love. I'm talking about true love, not just words. It's like when we receive Christ, so many people just receive Christ with lip service, not in their hearts. But I believe that God loves us. What do you believe? I believe that the Holy Spirit is available to each one of us. Yo creo que el Espíritu Santo está disponible a cada persona, cualquier persona que hay en este mundo. When I say each person, I mean everybody of every color, every race, every language, every country, like Brother Dan said. They can all be saved by receiving Christ and the Holy Spirit. It's not just restricted to we Americans or white Anglo-Saxon. It's available to everyone. That's why God sent his Son to die on the cross, because he loved the whole world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Yo creo en mi corazón. Que el Espíritu Santo está disponible a cada persona. Cualquier persona que hay en este mundo. Porque es el deseo de Dios que nadie perezca. Y por eso Él está disponible a cualquier persona. Los americanos, los mexicanos, no le hace. El color de su piel o su nacionalidad. Cualquier persona. I'm going to read from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You're all familiar with that. Yo voy a leer de Hechos, capítulo 1, versículo 8. If I can get this ribbon out here. Acts 1, 8 says, and you're well familiar with this, said, but ye shall read. Receive power. This is Jesus talking. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, in Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth. En español dice, pero recibirás poder cuando haya venido sobre vosotros el Espíritu Santo. Y me seréis testigos en Jerusalén y toda Judea y Samaria y hasta lo último de la tierra. Folks, when we receive Christ, truly receive Christ in our hearts, we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's not a thing. It's a person. And we receive him in our heart. And he stays in our heart. And he's promised he'll never leave you or forsake you. And nothing can separate you from the love of God. I shared with you that earlier. But you can't get rid of the Holy Spirit. When you truly receive him, he's there to stay up until the time you die. Cuando recibes el Espíritu Santo, cuando recibes a Cristo, el Espíritu Santo va a quedarse en su corazón por siempre, todo el tiempo cuando está viviendo, hasta la muerte. Yo creo en mi corazón, esta es la verdad. ¿Qué cree usted? This is what I believe in my heart. What do you believe? I hope you believe all this that I believe, because my beliefs are based on Scripture. These are not just my ideas, based on Scripture. But in order to receive the Holy Spirit, you have to receive Christ, and then your Holy Spirit enters into you. And he'll make you a new person. I can remember back before I was saved, and like I said, it was nearly 52 years before I was saved. I didn't have any interest in reading God's Word. I didn't attend church. But just attending church and reading God's Word not automatically makes you a Christian. You have to receive Christ in order to become a Christian. But when you read God's Word, and I was reading God's Word, and then I started going to church after I retired in 1986. My wife insisted that I go to church. She'd been begging me for years to go to church, and I didn't have time for church. I had to go fishing or something else on Sunday morning. Didn't have time for church. But when I did, I started reading the Bible, and I came under conviction, reading Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lead not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will guide your path." And that hit me just like a sledgehammer hit me between the eyes. And I realized that I was dependent on me for all those years. I wasn't interested in God. I believed in God, but believing's not enough. You have to receive Him. Oh, I believed. I believed everything the Bible said. We studied the Bible when I was in grade school. I was even in a Christmas play where I had to memorize Scripture, and I believed it. But I didn't have it in my heart. I had never received Christ. It's not enough just to believe. Even though I'm going to read after a while, it says, "Believe on the Lord and you'll be saved." But you got to do more than believe. You have to receive Him. And that's the key, like I read in John 1:10. As many as received Him, you become sons and daughters of God. Now, here's my trouble. When I said so much in English, I don't remember what I said to tell them in Spanish. When I read, cuando yo leía Hechos 1:8, dice, Jesús, dijo Jesús a nosotros que seréis testigos de Él y tenemos que compartir con otra gente en toda parte del mundo. Es un orden, no es una sugestión, es un orden. Es algo que tenemos que hacer cuando recibimos a Cristo, compartir con la otra gente. I also believe that God has to open up your heart. I've heard a lot of preachers say, open up your heart and let God come in. Well, we can't open up our hearts, folks. God has to open up your heart. If you decide on your own, well, I think I'm going to go down and I'm going to go to church and I believe I'll walk the aisle and I'm going to be baptized and be a Christian and maybe it'll help my business. No, it doesn't happen that way, folks. If it does, it's worthless. Hay mucha gente que piensa que, bueno, un día yo voy a asistir a una iglesia y decir que, oh, yo quiero recibir a Cristo, pero no en su corazón, nomás que la boca no vale nada. Tiene que recibirlo en su corazón. You have to receive Him in your heart. And I do believe that when God does open up your heart, you're going to come forward and receive Christ. That's what happened to me. When He opened up my heart, and I seen by reading His Word that I was lost and I needed a Savior. I thought I had everything that I needed. I was retired, just retired from the Immigration Service, had 30 years, had a nice farm up in Tennessee, and up in the mountains, had a trout stream running through my front yard, and the squirrel woods behind me. I had everything. I had a boat. I owned my own airplane, my new cat. I had everything I thought I'd ever wanted in life. But I didn't have Christ. I had an empty heart that needed love is what I needed. I needed true love. Yo recuerdo antes de recibir a Cristo que yo pensaba que yo tenía todo. Yo tenía un rancho ahí en Tennessee, en las montañas. Yo tenía todo lo que necesitaba para tener una vida agradable, ¿verdad? Para mí. Yo estaba pensando solamente de mí, ¿verdad? No estaba pensando de cosas de Dios. Hasta que el día que yo leí la Biblia, entonces el Espíritu Santo tocó mi corazón y abrió mi corazón. Y yo recibí a Cristo en mi corazón de veras, no solamente con la boca, pero con mi corazón. They're important, folks, that we truly receive Christ in our hearts and not just with lip service. But God has to open your heart. You can't open your heart. Solo Dios puede abrir su corazón. Tú no puedes abrir tu corazón. Dios tiene que abrir tu corazón. It's what I believe. What do you believe? I believe in heaven. Do you believe in heaven? You know, there's churches that teach there is no heaven. There's churches that teach there's no hell either. And I'm going to get to that next. But I believe in my heart there is a heaven, and I'm going to share scripture with you. Yo creo en el cielo. Hay mucha gente que no cree en el cielo. Hay iglesias que no creen en el cielo. Pero yo voy a probar con ustedes que hay un cielo porque Jesús habla tocante el cielo aquí en la Biblia. I'm going to share with you some scripture from John. Chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. It's the wrong color. Wrong purple. Let me just turn to John. John 14, verses 2 and 3 in English says, in my Father's house, this is Jesus speaking, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's talking about his Father's house in heaven. That proves to me there is heaven. Jesus says, I'm going to heaven to prepare a place for you, talking about his believers. Here he's talking to his apostles. But that applies to you and me if we've received Christ. We have a place. Jesus is in heaven right now preparing us a place and has it prepared for all of us who have received Christ. Yo creo en el cielo. Yo voy a leer aquí la Biblia lo que dice Jesús. Tocante al cielo. Dice, en la casa de mi padre muchas moradas. Ay, si no así no fuera, yo os hubiera dicho, voy pues a preparar lugar para vosotros. Y si me fuere y os prepare lugar, vendré otra vez. Os tomaré a mí mismo para que donde yo estoy, vosotros también estáis. Está en el cielo ahora preparando un lugar para todo creyente. Es una promesa de Dios. This is a promise of God that he is going to prepare a place for us and we'll come again. Jesus clearly said, I'll come again. Many people say, well, I've been hearing that for over 2,000 years that he's going to come back. He's going to come back. When? Nobody knows except the Father in heaven. When God the Father says it's time to go, when the time's fulfilled, he'll come back because it's a promise and God keeps his promise. Esta es una promesa de Dios. Dios ha dicho que un día él va a mandar a Jesús aquí, va a regresar aquí a la tierra para recoger a nosotros, para estar con él ahí en el cielo. Es una promesa de Dios y todas las promesas son verdad. Todas son verdad. It's all true. So I believe in heaven. I believe in hell too. I believe there's a place called hell. Many preachers don't like to talk about hell. Oh, you're going to scare the people. You're going to scare them. They don't want to come to church if you talk about hell. But it's a place. And it's not a nice place either. It's a burning place, a place of torment and suffering. The Bible says so. I'm going to read here in a few minutes what it says about it. But there's churches that teach there is no hell. They said hell's right here on earth. This is living hell that we're in right now. Well, it appears like it sometimes, but there is a hell, I assure you. Yo creo en el infierno. Satanás está en el infierno ahí, guardando toda la gente allí. Es un lugar de veras. Hay iglesias que dicen que, oh, no hay infierno, no más que es una cosa que los predicadores dicen para tener miedo a la gente, ¿verdad? Para tener miedo. Pero es un lugar. Yo voy a leer tocante este asunto. I'm going to read about how it comes from Matthew 13:49-50. After you. 13:49-50 in English says, and so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and serve, and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now this is what Jesus is saying. Jesus said it. It's got to be true, folks. It's in the Bible written, and I believe every word in the Bible is true. En español dice que así será el fin del siglo. Saldrán los ángeles y apartarán a los malos entre los justos y los echarán en el horno de fuego. Allí será el lloro y el crujir de dientes. Es un lugar. Infierno es un lugar y todos los que no han recibido a Cristo van a ir allá por seguro. Not only is it a place, but all who have never received Christ as Lord and Savior are going to go there. I was in church one time, we had an evangelist, and he looked down and had a big congregation. He said, 90% of you people are headed for hell. And you know what? He was close to being right after I got to know all the congregation. But that's quite a statement. But a lot of people think they're going to heaven, and really they're headed for hell. If you have not truly received Christ in your heart and have the Holy Spirit, you're headed for hell. It's that plain and simple. That's what the Bible says. That's not my word. That's what the Bible says. Si no has recibido a Cristo como Salvador y Señor y tiene el Espíritu Santo en su corazón, tú vas a ir al infierno. Hay mucha gente que no cree, pero no le hace, y creen o no, es la verdad, porque la Biblia dice que es la verdad. The Bible says it so, folks, and I believe it. I believe every word in the Bible is true, like we said right at the start. What do you believe? But not only is there a heaven, but there is a hell. I believe in covenants. I shared this last Sunday, as I said before, our church has a covenant and on the wall in the fellowship hall, and I believe your church has a covenant. You have it written somewhere, church covenant. Most churches do what you agree to do when you join the church. Some places don't have it shown, but we have it there in the fellowship hall. But many people have never read it. And those that have read it don't obey by it. But it's an agreement between us as members of the church and God and the congregation. And it's a promise. A covenant means promise. Yo creo en las promesas de Dios. Un pacto. Yo puedo enseñarle en la Biblia de mucha gente que hicieron un pacto con Dios. Es una promesa cuando hace un pacto de Dios. Por ejemplo, en la iglesia te promete a no usar alcohol ni nada, pero mucha gente usa. One of the things in our church covenant is you abstain for the use of alcohol or any alcoholic beverages. And if you don't abstain from alcohol, it's a sin. If you violate that covenant, it's a sin. I was on a jury trial one time when this fellow was being charged with drunken driving. And the lawyer asked me, he said, do you think it's a sin to drink? I said, it is for me. It's a sin for me to drink because I'm a Baptist and our church covenant says I will abstain from alcohol. And if I drink one beer, I'm sinning. So it's a sin for me to drink. The lawyer said, well, you're excused. He didn't want me on that jury because I thought it's a sin for me. Estoy comprendiendo que pasó conmigo una vez. Yo estaba en un juicio de un hombre que estaba manejando, tomando cerveza, ¿verdad? Y el abogado me preguntó, ¿tú piensas que es pecado para tomar cerveza? Y yo dije, sí, para mí es. Y él me dijo, no, yo no quiero que tú estés aquí en este juicio. Therefore, we can remember when we read in the Bible, remember that God made a covenant with Moses. First, he made a covenant, first one in the Bible, I believe, with Abram. Abraham. Abram was before he changed his name to Abraham. He made a covenant with him. He made a covenant with Moses. God made covenant. You can read about the covenants that God made with people all through the Bible. And he makes a covenant with us, too. You know, when you receive in Christ, you're making an agreement that you're going to follow the Lord and obey His statutes. It's not just enough just to receive Christ and be baptized and know what God says. You have to obey it. You have to obey it. No es suficiente para nomás que leer la Biblia y saber lo que dice. Tiene que obedecer lo que dice la Biblia. Es un pacto entre usted y Dios. It's a covenant between us and God when you receive Christ. Lastly, I believe in salvation. What do you believe? Yo creo en la salvación. ¿Qué cree usted? I can remember back when I was young and in grade school, like I said, I wasn't raised in a Christian home, never went to church. The only exposure I had in the Bible was in school, which was every day actually, but I never had received Christ. And we had this young man, I think it was about the seventh grade, we were going to go see an educational film. And this young man said, I can't see this film because I'm saved. And I wonder, what's he saved from? A lot of people don't know what they're saved from. You hear they say, well, I'm saved. I've been saved. It means you've received Christ. You're saved from going to hell. That's what it means. That's what saved. That's what salvation is, because it's God's will that none should perish. In other words, none should go to hell. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. I've heard people say, well, I don't believe a loving God will send anybody to hell. God don't send us to hell. We send ourselves to hell by our actions and what we do, by disobeying His word and sinning. That's why we go to hell. Sin separates us from God, but nothing can separate us from the love of God. He still loves us. And when we receive Christ, does that mean we'll never sin again? No, it doesn't mean that at all. We still will sin. We will stumble once in a while. Some of us will. Some of us may never sin again. But there's no guarantee of never sinning again. But Christ is always there, ready to forgive us of those sins. Estoy hablando tocante el pecado. Mucha gente piensa que después de recibir a Cristo nunca va a pecar otra vez, pero esta no es la verdad. La verdad es que somos humanos y por eso todos somos pecadores, ¿verdad? Todos somos pecadores. La diferencia es cuando recibimos Cristo como Salvador y Señor, somos perdonados de los pecados. Y cada vez que pecamos, entonces Cristo está dispuesto y listo para perdonarnos de los pecados. It's God's will that none should perish. So how do you know if you're saved? How do you know if you're going to heaven? A lot of people think they're going to heaven, and they're not really going to heaven. I'm going to share with you, I've got a niece that was visiting me one time and goes to a big mega church. Oh, man, they got a big band. There must be 1,000 people there, maybe more. And she said, they've got all kind of programs for their children. I said, well, are you going to heaven? Do you know for sure? She said, well, I hope I've been good enough. And I told her, you haven't been good enough. None of us can be good enough to go to heaven. Nobody can live by the law and never sin. All have sinned. The Bible clearly tells us, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. All, that means each and every one of us. That includes me, it includes Brother Dan. All of us have sinned. And I've been on mission trips where people say, oh, I've never sinned. I said, you've never told a lie? Oh, never. I've never told a lie. I said, you're telling one now. All have sinned. Todos han pecado y están destruidos de la gloria de Dios. Hay gente que dice, oh, yo nunca he pecado. Yo no soy pecador. Pero la verdad es que todos somos pecadores. Todos hemos pecado. And you can't earn your way to heaven. You can't be a member of a church and pay lots of money, lots of tithes, and come to church every Sunday and read the Bible and pray, but unless you have truly received Christ, you're headed for hell. It's that plain and simple. People don't like to hear that, but that's true. I want to read from John 14, chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. I'm right on John already, 14. Let me read 5 and 6. I'm on Matthew, I'm sorry. I read from John 14 just a while ago. I lost my marker on it, so let me find it again here. This talks about being sure. John 14, verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, Thomas saying to Jesus, Jesus just said that he's going to prepare a place. We read that. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus is saying. That's the only way. You can't buy your way in. You can't do enough good deeds. You can't live a perfect life. You have to receive Christ. Estoy leyendo de Juan 14, versículo 5 y 6. Dice, le digo a Tomás, Señor, no sabemos a dónde vas. ¿Cómo pues podemos saber el camino? Jesús le dijo, yo soy el camino, la verdad y la vida. Nadie viene al Padre sino por mí. Es la única manera que tú puedes ir al cielo, recibir a Cristo. Recibir a Cristo es lo que tiene que hacer. It's the only way to heaven, folks. That's the only way to heaven. So the only way you'll know for sure that you're going to go to heaven is know for sure that you've received Christ in your heart, not with just lip service, in your heart. It's the only way you're going to do it. At this time, I always give an invitation. That concludes my sermon for today. There may be someone here that's never received Christ, truly received Christ. We had an evangelist come to our church a couple years ago while I was gone. I guess it was last year. And he had about 10 people of our church that came forward to receive Christ. Some have been on board of trustees. They've been members of our church for years, but never truly had received Christ in their hearts. And there's always somebody like that. There's always some people that think they're going to heaven and they're not. The only way you know for sure is to receive Christ in your heart and then feel that Holy Spirit enter into you and then let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Brother Ben, I don't know how you usually do your invitations or if you do invitations, but we always give an invitation to give anyone here an opportunity to receive Christ. So, you want to come forward and do that? However you normally do it?
Would you like me to do this, Dan, or do you want
yes,
to?
Yeah, then I'll more or less say the same to the Hispanics.
Good. Thank you. Appreciate Stan sharing with us today. And as we finish, I'm looking back. I was going to say, I hope my wife is here because she's bringing food. And she is here. But she's also bringing some Gospel of John's in Spanish that we'd love to make available to you. So if you'd like one, please, we'll have that for you. We are taking care. You may need to translate for those who don't get this.
Okay.
My wife and I are taking care of a 96-year-old lady.
Okay, está diciendo que él tiene el Evangelio de Juan disponible a cada persona que quiere, en español. Está diciendo ahora que está cuidando por una mujer que tiene 96 años.
When she was 12 or 13, she received Christ as her Savior.
Cuando él tenía como 13 años, recibió a Cristo como Salvador y Señor.
And a few years later, the Lord touched her heart and said, I want you to be a missionary for me.
Y pocos años después, el Señor tocó su corazón y le dijo que yo quiero que tú eres un misionera por nosotros, por Dios.
She trained to be a medical nurse.
Ella en entrenamiento de una enfermera.
And eventually went to Nigeria for 40 years.
Y se fue a Nigeria por 40 años.
She's been with us for maybe 20 years now.
Ya tiene 20 años con ellos.
And her health is declining.
Y su salud está bajando.
We visited her in the hospital a few days ago.
Visitamos con ella en el hospital hace pocos días pasado.
And as we were finishing, we began to sing some hymns together.
Y durante esa visita empezamos a cantar himnos con ella.
She knows that her days here are numbered.
Ella sabe que los días que ella tiene para vivir son pocos.
And there are really only two ways to face death.
Y hay más que dos maneras para enfrentar la muerte.
One way is with great fear because I don't know what will happen after I die.
Un día es con miedo porque no sabe lo que va a pasar después de la muerte.
But the other side, and this lady is this way, is to look forward to going home to be with the Lord.
Y la otra manera, una persona puede saber por seguro que va a ir al cielo, más fácil a confrontar la muerte.
And as we were singing together, and I've never seen her quite this way.
Y cuando estábamos cantando en junto, y nunca he visto a ella en esta manera.
Laying in her bed.
Estaba en la cama en el hospital.
Her face almost radiated joy.
Como el gozo que radiaste por su cara.
and she's not an ultimately expressive person, but she raised her hands as she was singing.
Y ella levantó las manos así cuando estaba cantando a Dios.
And just was so joyful in the Lord.
Mucho gozo con el Señor.
I said all that to bring you to two verses from John 11.
Yo digo eso para llegar aquí a dos versículos de Juan, capítulo 11.
Jesus was at the grave of a man who had died.
Jesús estaba en la tumba de un hombre que murió.
And he was about to raise him back to life.
Estaba preparando levantarle para vivir de nuevo.
And speaking to his sister, he said this.
Y hablando con su hermana, le dijo así.
I am the resurrection and the life.
Yo soy la resurrección y la vida.
He who believes in me,
él me cree,
even though he may die,
although está muerto,
he will live.
Él va a vivir.
And whoever lives and believes in me will never die.
Y cualquier persona que me cree y vive nunca va a morir.
I've shared all of this with you to bring you to the last thing that Jesus said.
Dijo todo eso para llevar a la última cosa que Jesús dijo.
Because Stan has been talking to us and saying, this is what I believe, what do you believe?
Porque el hermano Stan estaba hablando durante ustedes lo que él quiere, cree y lo que usted cree.
As the Lord Jesus finished,
cuando Jesús terminó,
he said, do you believe this?
Cuando él terminó, él dijo, ¿cree usted eso?
That is the question for all of us today.
Esa es la pregunta para todos ustedes. ¿Cree usted todo lo que ha oído este día?
Whether we're young or old.
¿Eres joven o viejo?
Whether we're man or woman.
Hombre o mujer.
Whether we're American or Mexican or Central American.
Americano, mexicano, cualquier otro país.
This is the question that God asks us.
Esa es la pregunta para nosotros, ustedes.
We would love for you to come to faith in Jesus Christ.
Nosotros queremos de nuestros corazones que usted llegue al lugar en su vida de recibir a Cristo. Tenga fe en su corazón.
And if you desire to do that today, we would love to speak with you and show you from God's Word how that is done.
Y alguien aquí que quiere hacerlo, este es el tiempo para hacerlo. O tal vez más tarde, pero habla con alguno de nosotros, hermana Dan y yo.
Amen. Stan, do you have anything else you want to share with them?
No, that's about it, Brother Dan.
Okay. So, should we conclude?
Want to bless the food?
Yes, indeed. So we'll close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the grace that you've given us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Padre, damos gracias por el amor que ha dado nosotros por su Hijo, Jesucristo.
We thank you that you have made salvation available to us.
Gracias, ha hecho la salvación disponible para todos nosotros.
We confess that none of us is worthy of your salvation.
Podemos saber por seguro que nadie vale su salvación.
But a testimony to your great grace and mercy, you offer it to us.
Pero tu misericordia y gracia es ofrecido a todos que están aquí este día.
We ask, Father, that you would do that wonderful miracle of opening our blinded eyes and our hardened hearts to receive Jesus as Savior.
Le pedimos de nuestro corazón que abra nuestro corazón y nuestros ojos que podamos ver su Hijo Jesucristo.
We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord.
Todo le pedimos en el nombre de nuestro Señor Jesucristo, nuestro Salvador y Señor.
Amen. Now, may the love of God keep and abide with each of you.
Que el amor de Dios está con todos de ustedes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
En el nombre de nuestro Señor Jesucristo. Oramos todo. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're dismissed.
Okay.